This could be it.
Carrie, since you were the only speller remaining in round 19, you will now be given the next word on the pronouncer's list, and if you spell it correctly, you are the champion.
Ursprache.
Ursprache. May I have the definition, please?
An Ursprache is a parent language, especially one reconstructed from the evidence of later languages. Ursprache.
Ursprache. May I have the language of origin, please?
German.
Ursprache. U-R-S-P-R-A-C-H-E. Ursprache.
That is correct.
The grand finale of the 2006 National Spelling Bee. Competitive spelling is changing the world of academics. Instead of being the domain of super nerds, spelling bees have captured the American imagination and become, in a word, cool. James McGuire followed the drama of the 2004 bee and wrote about it in his book American Bee. He told Steve Paulson about the competition.
It's an entire week, actually. It begins on Sunday when they have picnics and things. It starts out very, very relaxed, and everyone's sort of casual and chatty. And over the course of the week, the tension sort of ratchets up. And when the spelling begins on Wednesday, it really gets nervous. And finally, on Thursday, you know, the last few hardy survivors are there on stage. And, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And the audience is literally on the edge of its seat. And there's an enormous excitement to that moment. And then finally, the last boy or girl spells the word, and then the audience just actually erupts. I mean, that moment is really a moment to behold.
Well, and the other thing about these spelling bees, for anyone who's actually watched some of them, the words are unbelievably difficult. I mean,
They really are.
I mean, I've never heard of half the words that are in the final round. So can you give me some examples of the kinds of words they have to spell?
Yeah, I mean, the words are so odd. I mean, you know, the 2004 winner spelled autochthonous. 1999 winner spelled logorrhea. It's actually one of the sort of side pleasures of the spelling bee is that these words are so odd. You know, it's like an 18-syllable word that means hair disease or something. You know, we never really use these words in real life. And, you know, where are these words the rest of the year? They're sort of, I think of them as sort of the buried treasures of the English language.
Well, and there are some even odder words than the ones you just mentioned. What are some of the stranger, the more difficult words that you've come across?
You know, there was a word last year. It was a boy named John Tamplin spelled it flambora, which doesn't spell at all the way it actually sounds. F-L-A-M-B-O-U-R-G-H. And John actually, you know, up there on stage somehow conjured that word forth. It was really a lot of amazement that he did that. I look at the list and I'm somewhat amazed. Like, where do these words come from?
Well, and how would a kid actually know how to spell that? He must know. It's more than just memorizing every word in the dictionary.
Yeah, it really is. And part of it is etymology. You know, they study word roots. So a lot of these spellers spell words that they have never seen before because they're able to take it apart, you know, word by word, root by root. The other thing is, you know, the bar has kind of raised so that some of these top spellers actually are reading the entire dictionary. The 2004 winner, David Tidmarsh, really read the entire dictionary, believe it or not. He made cassettes for himself to test himself on his trouble words. And now one of the girls this year, Carrie Close, she has also read the entire dictionary, and she has made her own personal dictionary of her trouble words. So, you know, the bar has raised. They really are reading much of the dictionary at this point, the top kids.
Well, how do spelling bees work? How do you qualify in the first place?
You work your way up from, you know, the lowest of the low. You're at the classroom bee, and then you win your school bee. You go up to the city bee, and then a regional bee. And finally, if you win your regional bee, that earns you a spot in D.C. But, of course, every one of those spelling bees gets tougher as you go up. And the thing is, if you get to D.C. one year, and you're, say, in seventh grade, you have one more year of eligibility because eighth grade is the last year. You start back again at the bottom the following year. You're accorded no special status because you made it to D.C. one year.
And how many kids actually go to D.C.?
275 spellers.
And then how is the field winnowed down from there?
Well, they start pretty fast at the beginning because you really can't have a spelling bee with 275 kids. Each round would take hours and hours. So they have a written test up front that's really quite deadly. It's 25 words. It starts, you know, with some real softies. But by the time you get to, like, word 15, we're into some extremely odd words. And then finally, you know, the last few words is just absolutely impossible. So the 180 kids are winnowed the very first morning through the written test. Then they start, you know, round by round with those 90 kids. And the words in the oral rounds, they begin fairly easy, too. But, of course, by the time you get to, like, the fifth or sixth rounds, the words have left the planet Earth.
Tell me about some of the kids you came across.
Sure.
Who were they?
Exactly. One was a girl in New Jersey named Carrie Close. Very competitive girl, very athletic, actually in her off, you know, when she's not studying spelling or doing her schoolwork, she's actually a competitive sailor because she lives right on the Jersey coast. So she sails and races on the Jersey coast, which I think is really neat. A little on the reserve side, but when she gets on stage, you know, she's definitely there to win. And interesting thing about Carrie, I mean, she does not let the pressure rattle her. She will sit there and she will think, you know, while thousands or hundreds of thousands of people are watching her. And very calmly, she can handle that pressure, which I think is a big part of that. There's another boy, Samir Patel. He's from the Dallas-Fort Worth region. He came in third place when he was 9 years old, which is almost unthinkable. Serious, serious studier, Samir. And also, it's a funny thing about Samir, he will often be quite humorous on stage. He'll crack a little joke on stage. I keep saying to him, you know, Samir, I'm ready for the Samir Patel comedy CD.
I'm starting to get a sense of what it takes. I mean, obviously, all these kids who do well spend a lot of time studying, and I mean, they pore over the dictionary. It sounds like there's also a strong competitive streak and an ability to hold up under the pressure.
The pressure is a big part of it. I think it's also part of what they gain, you know, because having to stand up there and you know, in front of a crowd and handle these very odd words, and you have to actually be able to think in front of a crowd, which is a very, you know, unusual skill. I was amazed last year at the awards dinner. The finalists stood up and gave speeches to this entire ballroom, and I was amazed at the aplomb of the kids, these 12 and 13-year-olds giving a very calm, you know, even-keeled speech, and I thought, I guess, you know, it helps to have been on stage and handled that pressure. It gives them a certain amount of poise on stage.
Now, you say that it takes hours and hours of study. How many hours in a typical day for a really good speller?
Yeah, there's some of the spellers, actually, who are just, you know, very, very bright, who actually get away with about an hour a day, believe it or not, although typically most of the days of the week. But a lot of the kids are studying 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours a day in a school day, and sometimes more on the weekends, and quite often 7 days a week, and quite often year-round, too. For, you know, so these kids who come back year after year, you know, they finish 1B, and they don't take much time off of the summer. They begin again that summer studying again.
Now, one thing that's really striking about the spelling bees, and I've kind of check in on ESPN at times when these are on, is it's actually a very diverse group of students ethnically. I mean, it kind of goes against the stereotype that, oh, it would just be the rich suburban kids who would do well here.
Yeah, it's one of the things I really love about it. It's interesting because one of the kids I profiled in the book, his father said to me, you know, we really live paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of the kids at the B actually would not be able to get there if their trip had not been sponsored by a newspaper or other organization. And so it is an unusual mix. Some of the kids are very working class. Some are very affluent. There's homeschoolers. There's public school kids, private school kids, you know, every ethnic group. It's pretty interesting, actually, when you look at those 275 kids up on stage, you realize, I mean, that is what America looks like.
So this is really an expression of American diversity here.
It's quite interesting, you know, that as a side issue, you know, many people point to the fact that Indian Americans have done quite well recently. It's actually 5 of the last 7 spelling bees have been won by Indian Americans. And I think one of the reasons that it is because an Indian American boy won in 1985. And I think for some recent immigrants, they thought to themselves, you know, well, if one of our own can win this quintessentially American contest, you know, we want to be, you know, interested in that. So a lot of Indian American families put a lot of emphasis on spelling. And I think it's one of the reasons the Indian boys and girls are top spellers at this point.
Well, and you must wonder about the culture there. I mean, education is clearly prized in these Indian
Absolutely.
Families in ways that it certainly encourages the parents to, if not push their kids, at least to encourage them to really devote hours to spelling.
Yeah, I talked with several of the Indian parents at the B, and I, you know, asked them the same question. I got the same answer independently. I said, you know, why do you think the Indian boys and girls are doing so well? And they all said to me, education. They said, we are only here because of our education. You know, they've come here to be doctors or civil engineers. So, yeah, I think it's all about education, exactly.
Now, I would think the pressure would get excruciating, especially at the National Bees. I mean, you have to go up in front of all of these people in the audience. You're on national television. Do some kids just crack?
Yeah, it does happen. There was one boy last year, I know he had studied incredibly hard, and he had done very well in his regional. He got a medium-level word, and he missed it, and he knew that he missed it because he raced right through it because he was simply so nervous. It's the interesting thing about the kids who make it to the very, very end is that they're not just really bright and also good spellers. It takes it's a certain amount of personal maturity that goes on there. I mean, especially for a 12 or 13-year-old to be able to withstand that kind of pressure, it's actually a big part of the contest. It's handling that pressure.
Wasn't there one boy who actually fainted at the mic? And just as people were rushing up to help him, he got up and then spelled the word.
That was an amazing performance. Akshay Budiga in 2004, and he almost won. And yet he told me he had not had much to eat that day, and he had hardly slept the night before, simply too nervous. And he had a momentary feeling of wooziness, and down he went. But the amazing thing is he got right back up, and he spelled the word. And I thought, you know, this kid can actually spell almost in a trance. It was a great performance.
What's the prize for winning?
The prize this year has levitated once again. Last year it was $30,000 or close to it. This year it is a whopping $37,000, which is a rather pleasant payday for a 12 or 13-year-old. And, of course, they also get the big gold trophy and their name goes in their record books.
$37,000. We're not talking chicken feed here.
No, that sounds pretty professional to me. I'd say that the top 20 or 30 spellers out of the 275 really are operating at a pretty professional level.
So are there some parents who have just devoted themselves to help their kids do well at the National Spelling Bee?
It really has become a passion. For the spellers at the top level, many times the entire family has worked out its schedule. Maybe they are or are not going to go on vacation at a certain time. Maybe the other kids have to be quiet so, Johnny or Jill, can study, during the car trip. Because there's no such thing as a boy or girl who gets to the spelling bee by him or herself. I mean, if the entire family isn't on board pushing this, it's probably not going to happen.
James McGuire is the author of the book American Bee. Steve Paulson spoke with him.